Good morning to each one. Greetings in Jesus' name. I've got a bit of a cold this morning, so I hope you can bear with me. I hope my voice lasts for the sharing here, but we trust that God will take care of that as well. It is a blessing to be back here again. We missed you all very much, and It feels like a long time since we've been here. I feel a little bit disconnected in some ways. But we are very thankful to be here. Thank you for the songs. We richly encouraged by that. As we were singing different songs, there was different things that stood out to me. My title is, Do I Love His Appearing? And later on I will talk about this a little bit more, but song number 791 stood out to me. It says, Thou art my portion, O my God. Soon as I know thy way, my heart makes haste to obey thy word and suffers no delay. I will talk about obedience a little bit in a little bit here, but it just stood out to me. As soon as I know thy way, as soon as I know what you want, my heart makes haste to obey. For an opening scripture, let's turn to Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. I'll read that for an opening scripture here. This is not a very in-depth study, but it's something that has been on my mind for quite a few weeks. And it's been something that I need in my life. I feel like it's lacking in my life in a lot of ways. But it's a reminder for us, something to check our own hearts. So I'll read Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. There's different things in here. I won't touch on everything a whole lot, but it just reminder to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly. As I think of the thought of, do I love his appearing? What does that look like? If we truly do love his appearing, what comes forth from our lives? And I think some of these things, like denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we living soberly, righteously and godly in this present world, those are things that will come forth. Now, there's a lot of details and a lot of practical outworkings of that. But also, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ, of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a glorious appearing. Somebody prayed this morning in the prayer room that we would look forward and anticipate his appearing, his return, and is that reality in our life? Is that reality in my life and in our lives? 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 to 8. You don't have to turn to all these scriptures. I have some of these down here, and I'll just kind of read them as I go here, so I won't necessarily take a lot of time here on some of these, but it says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That's where my title came from. That's where it came from. It says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But this crown of righteousness is not just for everyone. But it is to all them that love his appearing. Do I love his appearing? What does our life look like if that is reality? One point I want to look at is we will be sober-minded. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant. And why? Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If we aren't living a life of soberness, if we aren't sober, the devil has a lot of advantage. And he will seek to destroy us. He will seek to devour us. And if we're not sober, he probably will. And therefore, it is important that we are sober and that we're awake and watching. 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And Philippians 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. And I think that is truly a mind of, if we're sober minded, that we will have the mind of Christ. That is the mind of Christ. One thought that came to me, somebody else had shared some of this out there, is we have a tendency to degenerate over time, and that's why it is important that we remind ourselves of these things and ask ourselves these questions on a regular basis. Do I still love his appearing, or am I being distracted by other things? We will have willing obedience. That's where obedience comes in. If we are sober-minded, if we truly love his appearing, we will have willing obedience. We will haste to obey. As soon as we know his will, we will haste to obey it. I'd like to turn to Psalm 81 here. We'll read a few verses there. Few examples of where willing obedience maybe was lacking. Just stood out to me as my wife and I read this psalm several weeks ago, and it just stood out to me how there was a lack of obedience here. Psalms 81, we'll read from verse 10 to 16, the end of the psalm there, starting in verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways! I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with the honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. It just stood out to me how the children of Israel, it's talking about the children of Israel here, the Lord desired to have their hearts, their obedience. But it says, my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. And we see here, they missed out on a lot of blessings because of their disobedience. If they had opened their mouth wide, he would have filled it. It says, the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him. He should have soon subdued their enemies. And because of their disobedience, they weren't. But if they had willingly obeyed the Lord, their enemies should have soon been subdued. He should have fed them with the finest of the wheat, and with the honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. They were just about there. If they had just been willing to obey, God would have filled, and he would have blessed them with rich blessings. But because of their disobedience, they were not able to experience those blessings. And this is something that we can ask ourselves too. And I think many times we have missed out on blessings because of disobedience in our own hearts. Excuse me. And then also turn to Genesis 4. There's another example there of Cain and Abel there. Genesis chapter 4, and then we'll read the first 8 verses there. This is maybe not necessarily directly obedience, talking about disobedience or obedience, but it is down the same line here, and it just really, really caught my attention here the other day as someone else was sharing on some of this scripture, and it just stood out to me how Cain's offering wasn't acceptable in God's eyes. And I think it had a lot to do with his life was not in tune with Christ, and he was not truly obedient, not truly willing to obey what Christ wanted him to do. His heart was dark, and he didn't have the proper connection with God. He did not love his appearing. So in chapter 4, verse 1, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him." From what we can tell here, it seems like his heart was not to offer it to the Lord as out of worship and love to his Lord. But somehow in his heart he was not doing well. He was not doing well. And it brought him to a place where he was willing to kill his brother. Unforgiveness and bitterness and anger took over, and he killed his brother. If he had truly been obedient and he had truly loved the Lord with all of his heart and had loved his appearing, That story would have ended very differently. Another point here then is we will forgive and not become bitter. I don't have a whole lot here, but Mark 11:26 says, "But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." And he was angry at God, first of all, but at his brother. And he could not be forgiven unless he would have forgiven first. James chapter 3, 14 to 15 says, "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish." Here again we see bitterness destroys. And if we truly love Christ's appearing, we will have pure hearts, and we will not be harboring bitterness and anger in our hearts toward each other. And as we were singing 350 there, I just thought about it that if we truly love his appearing, we will love one another. And I think that goes with this forgiveness part here. But we will love one another, and it will be a beautiful, beautiful, sweet aroma coming from amongst us if we truly love each other in that way, and if we truly love His appearing. We will have a heart of worship, a heart of worship to God. If we truly love His appearing, our hearts will be turned towards Him, and we will have a heart of worship and a song on our hearts. As we go about our week, wherever we find ourselves, we will have a song on our hearts. We will have a worship and gratitude to our God. We will be preparing for eternity. We will live in light of eternity because we are looking forward to that, to His appearing. We will have a pure tongue. The words from our mouth that come from our mouth will be words that will bring honor and glory to God. And I think we all have found ourselves saying things that we later regretted. Psalm 139, verse 4 says, "For there is not a word in my tongue, but Lord, Lord, Thou knowest it altogether." There's not a single word or exclamation or anything that comes out of our mouth that the Lord doesn't know. That was sobering to me as I read that. Every time I say anything, just a single word, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's out of anger or out of love, God knows each and every word that we say, and we will have to give account for it. So what? How is our speech? David had an opening on that here a couple weeks ago, and I really appreciated that. There's just things like what kind of words do we use? Even just filler words or exclamations. What is our speech? Is it pure and honoring to God? Because every single word that we say, we will have to give account for. Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." Romans 14:11-12 says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." No matter what we say on this earth, we will have to give account for it. But no matter how evil our tongue may be, could be, one day our tongue will confess to God. We will bow before Him and we will confess to God. But if we have not been faithful to Him here, that will not do us any good. If we truly love His appearing, we will also share our testimony and the gospel with others around us. It will radiate from our lives, I believe, and the light of Christ will shine forth. On the point of worship, I heard a brother say this from somewhere else one time, but he said that if our heart is truly in tune with God, when we come to a Sunday morning service and we sit here and sing together, we will be singing from the depth of our heart, and we will sing with energy. And I know we face days when it's not as easy to when we don't feel as encouraged and we don't feel as strengthened. But it just stood out to me that if we come to church Sunday after Sunday and our singing is very is not full of energy, then he wondered if there wasn't something wrong in our hearts. And that's been something that I have thought about myself a lot, and as an encouragement, I want to share that and just encourage us to sing from within our hearts. And I know that we also have days when we have colds like I have today, and it's a little harder to sing. But when we can, let's sing with our hearts. It is a true blessing, and it is an encouragement to our lives if we can. That is all that I have here today. I hope that it can be a blessing and encouragement to each one, and that we can continue to press on and to to our lives could be a true testimony of Christ. And want to bless each one. Thank you for your lives. Thank you for the blessing you've been to us. We have really, really been blessed. And we are very thankful to be back in your midst again. God bless you.